Blog Talk Radio.
Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Less of me,
more of you is what I need.
Show me your power. Less of me and more of you. Rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day.
I need you, Lord.
Oh, I need you.
I want your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me
and more of you.
Give up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. It is good to see everyone here on the line today. We thank God for this day and this opportunity to be here to receive, amen, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And that's why I pray that all have a blessed day today in the Lord. Let us pray as we enter into our Bible study lesson on tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father God, we come giving you all honor, praise, and glory, and all the admiration. We come exalting your name above all names, oh Lord. We just want to say thank you, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, oh God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're about to do in our lives. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we can come on tonight, oh God, to receive, amen, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that we may be filled, oh God, that our spiritual bellies may be full, that we will thirst no more, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we just want to say thank you, oh God. As we study your word on tonight, oh God, we ask that you open up our understanding. Lord, let us receive divine revelation and knowledge and wisdom to apply the lesson on tonight to our lives, that we live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, allow the scripture, oh God, and lesson to take root and manifest in us mind, body, soul, and spirit, and be engrafted on our hearts and mind, helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you'll keep us in perfect peace. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come again. Against every unteachable spirit, we come against the spirit of confusion, distraction, frustration, procrastination, limitation. We come against every spirit of oppression, depression, worry, fear, doubt, disbelief, every fighting spirit, rebellious spirit, angry spirit, spirit of wrath. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I measure every spirit of sickness, disease, discomfort, pain, amen, infirmity and affliction, inflammation and viruses. We command you to cease your works right now and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. My Lord, my God, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you have your way right now on this line. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we decree and declare that we are free, and we are free indeed, and we're victorious. Amen. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. And we thank you for, Lord. Hallelujah. See your name, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. Again, welcome, everyone. If you can hear me clearly, press 1. I just need somebody to press 1. I just want to make sure the line is good. Thank you, Sister David. Amen. If you have a question or comment, what's the lesson? We come to the point of the lesson. I won't be able to tell by one person, but hopefully I'll cover you all and understand everything that's going on going forward. Those that I do know, I'll open up your line and ask you at that time if you have any questions or comments. Those who I'm not familiar with, if you have a question and comment at that time, the reason I won't be familiar is because I don't know your number. So you would press 1 at that time, and then we'll answer any questions or comments that you may have regarding the lesson on tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. So we want to talk about tonight, you all. We left off last Wednesday about 11th in, which is a spirit, king of pride. If you turn with me over into the book of Job chapter 41, verse 34, we're talking about 11th in, the king of pride. So if you go to Job chapter 41, verse 34, Job chapter 41, verse 34, hallelujah. And I'll give you all time to get to the book of Job. Amen. The book of Job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's Job 41, chapter 41. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. And it's verse 34. Amen. The Bible says, he beholds, or King James Version, you all. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. So in Job chapter 41, the Lord appears to Job in a whirlwind and begins to question him concerning a creature known as Leviathan. Amen. So though I read the book of Job a numerous amount of times, you know, I had no understanding of who this creature was until I came into the ministry of deliverance. Amen. So understanding what the scripture is saying, and realizing that Leviathan was a spirit represented by a crocodile or a large sea serpent. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 27, he is called the piercing serpent, the crooked serpent, the dragon that lies in the midst of seas. In Job, in this particular scripture, 41 and 34, he is called king over all the children of pride. And in the ministry of deliverance for some time, you begin to see people that one of the most difficult spirits to defeat was the spirit of pride. You see a lot of people even around that have that pride in ministry that are dealing with the spirit of pride. Some people never seem to overcome this spirit and eventually falling, but we can draw him or her out. We can withdraw him out and destroy him. We're talking about the spirit of levity and the spirit of pride. So the Lord has graciously given us a revelation of levity and his characteristics. We are now able to identify him, fall out of the agreement with the spirit of levity, you know, fall out of agreement with him and receive deliverance. So with the help of the Lord, we can bind him and cast him out. So my mom used to always say, you know, oh, you just tough. You can't be proud. A closed mouth won't get fed. And you got to speak up. And I'd be like, no, I'm okay. I don't need no help. It's okay. I'll be all right. I don't ask unless I truly, really need something. And, you know, my mom said, that's just being prideful. But, you know, they say a lot of people have pride. And just, depending on what are you having for your pride for about. So there are five references to levity in the Word of God, in the Word of God's law. The most extensive reference is found in the book of Job, chapter 41. The other references are in Job 3 and 8, and also in Psalm 74 and 14, if you want to write those down, Psalm 74 and 14, and also in Psalm 104 and 26. Psalm 104 and 26. We can go over to Psalm 74 and 14 together. We can go together Psalm 74 and verses 14. So that's Psalm 74. Those are just coming in. Psalm 74, verse 14. Amen. He said, and it's, the Bible says in King James, New King James Version, Psalm 74, 14, you broke the heads of Lebanon in pieces and gave him as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. So we see here, the scripture talking about Lebanon. Also in the book of Psalm 104, verse 26. Psalm 104 and verse 26. Again, the New King James Version. Psalm 104 and verse 26 says, there the ships sail about, there is that Lebanon which you have made to play there. Amen. So we see here in the scripture in Isaiah 27 and 1 and Job 41 is the reference, you all, that I'll focus on in this lesson because it gives the most insight into the character and personality of this demonic spirit, and it provides us with the spiritual strategies to defeat him. Amen. So Leviathan is a fire-breathing dragon. That's the question. What is Leviathan? What is Leviathan? A fire-breathing dragon. So the Knox translation of Job 41 and 9 says, let him but sneeze, the fire flashes out. Let him open his eye. It is like the glimmer of dawn. We see also in Job 41 and 19, this is a picture of a fire-breathing dragon. So we have no knowledge of such a creature in the natural. So this is because Job 41 is not referring to a natural creature. The Lord is exposing Leviathan, king of pride. So there are many stories in ancient lore concerning fire-breathing dragons. Mythology refers to this creature. So I believe this myth and stories are representative of Leviathan. So the ancients had contact with the spirit realm and often portrayed what they knew through their literature and folklore, as you all. So you may say, you know, what is this? What is this teaching? That's ridiculous. I don't believe that when you're going with this lesson, but I didn't believe it either until I've seen and heard the different encounters through of Apostle John Eckhart in his lesson of study. Amen. Leviathan in deliverance and studying the Word of God. So another important reference to Leviathan and fire can be found when the Apostle James refers to the tongue as a little member that boasts great things. If you go over to the book of James, chapter 3, verse 5, that's James, the book of James, chapter 3, verse 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's James, chapter 3. Okay, so I'm going too fast. verse 5. James chapter 3, verse 5. Amen. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So we see it here in Scripture for ourselves. This is an obvious, you all, reference to pride manifesting through the tongue. James then goes on to say how great a matter a little fire kindled. Amen. The tongue sets on fire the course of nature. Everything can manifest through the tongue in boasting, lying, and cursing. One of the sins of pride is cursing and lying. We look in the book of Psalm 59 and 12. We go over to the book of Psalm, chapter 59. Psalm 59, verse 12. Hallelujah. Give you all a moment to get there. 59 and 12. You can see for yourself. Psalm 59 and 12. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we see in the book of Psalm 59 and 12, for those that are just now coming on, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for the cursing and lying which they speak. Amen. So we see it here in Scripture. Boasting is another manifestation of pride. To boast means to puff oneself up in speech, to speak vainglory, you are arguing and disputing is another manifestation of pride. If you're that person, you know someone is always ready to argue and dispute something. This is another manifestation of pride. We go over to the book of 1 Timothy 6 and 4. 1 Timothy 6 and 4. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions. So we see it here in Scripture. James said that no man can tame the tongue. Look at James 3 and 8, saying no man can tame the tongue. This could be due to Leviathan's influence, for he cannot be tamed. We need a work of grace in our hearts and lips to overcome pride's manifestations. Amen. We need a work of grace. And that's just what it is. We need a work of grace. The Bible says in Job 41 and 20, it makes reference to a seething pot, you all. To seethe means to churn or foam as of boiling. It also means to be agitated. To agitate means to disturb. It also means trouble in mind or feeling. So I believe this is a reference to anger. Anger is a manifestation of pride. It is also a reference to stirring up strife. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25. Proverbs 28, 25, you want to write that down. Proverbs 28, 25 says, he who is a proud heart stirs up strife. Amen. The New English Bible translates this verse as a self-important man provoke quarrels. Those who are easily given to strife, anger, and quarrels are controlled by levity. Breath represents spirit, you all. Evil spirits can manifest through the tongue. Pride in our hearts will manifest through the tongue. From the abundance, the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The breath of levity kindles a fire, Job 41 and 28. 41 and 21, I'm sorry. So fire spreads and destroys. It is one of the most destructive elements known to man. People controlled by levity would do much damage through their minds and mouths. I'll say that again. People controlled by levity would do much damage through their minds and mouths. So your mouth, instead, you all, of kindling coals with our tongues, we need the coals from the heavenly altar to purge our lips as in Isaiah chapter 6 and 7. Let's go over to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 7 together. Isaiah, and it's an Old Testament, y'all. Isaiah, hallelujah, chapter 6, verse 7. Isaiah, verse 7. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 7, said, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Amen. And your sin is purged. We see this in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 7. We need the calls from heaven, from heaven's altar, to purge our lips. Amen. And I know many of us can say it, admit to it without saying it today. Amen. Amen. Does anyone have any questions or comments at this time? If so, press 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I won't be able to tell because some of the numbers are still showing that you did. So I'll just ask Sister Pamela Townsend, do you have any questions or comments?
No,
Sister
ma'am.
Pamela
Townsend.
Amen.
No, ma'am, not.
Sister Connie, you have any questions or comments at this time?
No, it's just that, just a small comment. I was thinking as you were speaking and going through the different scriptures and showing us about our tongue, and I had thought to myself how often I had to hold it in order to keep the peace in my household.
Jesus. Yes. We know that we say someone can say one thing, it'll tear the whole house down and set a fire. It'll take days or months, weeks. So yes, we all have to be careful with that. And that comes from that spirit of pride when we can't, and we've got to get the last word, and we've got to say something, and we got to be heard. Jesus Christ. Thank you, Ms. Connie, for your comment. Amen. Sister Dillard, Mama, you have any questions or comments? Amen. Amen. So we thank God for the word. And these are most important that we take away from the lesson and apply it, not just to hear it, not just to read it, not just to be the readers and the hearers of the word, but to be the doers of the word. And we apply what Scripture is telling us. Amen. So that we can live a life that is upright and pleasing to the sight of our Lord God. Amen. So we talk about stubbornness and hardness of heart. Because a lot of us, we deal with stubbornness and the hardness of heart. We cannot let go. See, left and strength is in his neck. We see in Job 41 and 22, according to Psalm 18 and 40, the Lord gives us the necks of our enemies. Joshua and Israel demonstrated their enemies' defeat by putting their feet on the necks of the kings of Canaan. When we go to Joshua 10 and 24, hallelujah. Joshua in Old Testament, if you all go with me in the book of Joshua, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we're going to go to the book of Joshua and give you all opportunity to get there. The book of Joshua in chapter 10 in the book of Joshua. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 10, verse 24. Amen. In the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible says, so it was when they brought out those kings of Joshua to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. Amen. A strong neck refers to being stubborn and stiff-necked. Stubbornness and rebellion are two more manifestations of pride. Stubbornness is a refusal to change. Many leaders and churches refuse to change when a new flow of the Spirit is being released into the body of Christ. There is a resistance to change, which is nothing but a manifestation of laziness. According to 1 Samuel 15 and 23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. A stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness will cause a man to reject the word of the Lord. This was the sin of Saul. So many reject present truth being spoken today because of stubbornness. Change is a part of life. Amen. Some people don't want to change, but change is a part of life. You cannot grow without change. We must be flexible in order to change with God. There are always new things being birthed and released in the kingdom. Israel, you all, was often referred to as a stiff-necked people. In the book of Exodus 33:3, we see this. Stephen called those who resist the Holy Ghost stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. When we look in the book of Acts, in Deuteronomy 31:27 says, "For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck." The Mosaic, you all, translation says, "For I know your defiant temper and your stubborn spirit." Stubbornness is a refusal to repent and turn from the crooked way. In the book of Psalms 75:5, it says, "Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck." To lift up the horn means to boast or to flaunt power. It means to be arrogant or irreverent, you all. It means to defy God, the defiance of God. So this is associated with a stiff neck, you all, refusing to hear, anti-submissiveness and unteachableness are all tied in with being stiff-necked. If you look in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 23. We can place our eyes on it together. Whatever Bible you're coming out of today. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 23 reads as follows. "But they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction." Amen. So we see it here. These are all manifestations of pride and levity. So another characteristic of this spirit, levity, is being unyielding and unbending. So in the book of Job 41:23, we see this. To yield means to submit by giving way before force, argument, or persuasion or entreaty, you all. It means to relinquish one's rights. People who are set in their ways, unbending and unyielding, are being controlled by levity, who refuses to yield. Hardiness of heart is the next manifestation of the spirit of levity. The Lord shows us in Job 41:24. Many believers suffer from the condition of hardiness of heart, just as the disciples did. Pharaoh, who is also referred to as the great dragon in Ezekiel 29:3, in the King James Version of the Bible, hardened his heart and was destroyed. It was destroyed in the Red Sea. The hardness of heart prevents us from walking in the fullness of God's blessings. Levity hinders spiritual growth, sleepiness while trying to pray, study the word, or even while sitting in a service are manifestations of the spirit. So people who have problem praying or understanding the word of God are often controlled by levity. An inability to remember scriptures or recall the word have also been traced to levity as well. Amen. Amen. I hope you all are following along well tonight. Amen. I hope I'm not going too fast for you. Amen. So we're going to kind of wrap up here in a minute here, you all. I don't want to do too much at one time. I want you to be able to take this and let it digest and apply it. When you think about the pride's trial, the trial of pride, the Amplified version of Job 41:30, it says, "He under parts are like sharp pieces of broken pottery." The underbelly is one of the most vulnerable areas found in reptiles, you all. As this sharp underbelly dragging along, it leaves a distinct trail when upon the land. So in the same way, pride will leave a trail wherever it goes. This trail includes hurt, pain, broken marriages, backsliding, shame, and destruction. The Bible tells us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. in the book of Proverbs 16 and 18. Destruction follows the trail of pride. Leviathan lives in the depths and causes it to boil. Pride is so deep in man, it is difficult to draw it out because it lives so deep within us. Boiling represents restlessness. Humility brings rest. Pride causes restlessness. Wherever pride goes, he leaves a trail behind. Wherever you look, you can see a trail of misery, broken lives, and destruction. Do not walk in the path of pride. It is a path that leads to shame and destruction. Leviathan is not an earthly creature, you all. We are dealing with a spirit, a strong man in the kingdom of darkness. There is no creature on earth that is comparable to this fearless spirit, the spirit of pride, which is Leviathan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anyone have any questions or comments at this time? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll open up your line because, like I said, if you press one earlier, it's still showing that you have a question. So I will make sure I don't leave you out. I'll open up your line. Sister Pamela Townsend, do you have any questions or comments?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Amen. Amen. Sister Connie, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I'm good this time. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Dilla, you have any questions or comments?
No. The comments, I'm enjoying what you're saying. I'm learning a whole bunch about the Bible and what you're teaching us. And thank the Lord for your teaching.
Amen. Glory to God. We thank God for the lesson and the apostles. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. And those that are tuned in, I don't know your numbers, or if you're online, if you have any questions or comments, press 1 or call in to 845-277-9213. If you have any questions or comments, or if you want to email me, you can do that at chantel.becky@yahoo.com. Amen. So before we wrap up here, I'm going to talk about man's inability to draw out and conquer Leviathan. Amen. In the first 7 verses of Job chapter 41, the Lord asked Job 14 questions concerning Leviathan. These questions reveal man's inability to draw out and conquer him. The first question implies that there is no hook or line that is able to draw Leviathan out of the deep to the land. Amen. Out the deep of the land. This is verse 1. Not only does Leviathan live in the depths, but he is also so strong and powerful as to break any line or hook that man would use to snare him and draw him out. Pride is such a strong, deeply rooted spirit that it is impossible to hook him and draw him out. The beginning of humility is recognizing our limitations and inability and our dependence, you all, upon the Lord. A humble man recognizes his need for the Lord in everything he does. An humble woman as well. When I say man, we're talking about mankind, so that includes woman and man. You cannot snag and hold him as you do other sea creatures. This is verse 2. This method will not be successful with Leviathan. Man has been successful in conquering even the largest of sea creatures, the whale, but Leviathan cannot be conquered by natural means. Hello, hello, amen. Amen, glory to God. There will be no negotiation. We'll not negotiate. Amen, Leviathan, you will not negotiate. The Bible in Job 41:3 gives us a picture of a defeated foe pleading or making entreaties to his vanquisher. Often conquered nations or kings would entreat their conquerors. Entreat means to plead with, especially in order to persuade, to negotiate. So the enemy, once conquered, will attempt to speak soft or flattering words. Well, will Leviathan do this? Plead with you, negotiate with you, or flatter you with words? No. He is a proud and stubborn demon that does not speak soft words. He will not humble himself and make supplication. Supplication is also a form of prayer. We have found that the spirit of Leviathan hinders prayer. People who have a difficult time praying or become sleepy when attempting to pray are often battling Leviathan. proud people don't sense a need to pray or seek God. My Lord, my God. We look in the book of Psalms 10 and 4. If you go with the book of Psalms chapter 10, verse 4 with me. Chapter 10, verse 4. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 10 and 4, everyone. Amen. The Bible says the wicked in his proud countenance does not see God. God is in none of his thoughts. Again, that's in the book of Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. And I want you all to pay attention to that scripture here. In Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. Amen. I want to say it again. It's such a strong scripture here. The wicked is his proud countenance. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Amen. Here we are. And we will have a difficult time asking for help. So proud people don't sense a need to pray or seek, and will have a difficult time asking for help. They often speak harshly to others. The tone of their voice, the tone of voice is an indication, you all, as to whether one is manifesting pride. Amen. He will not submit or enter into a covenant. So Leviathan will not enter into a covenant. In Job 41 and 4, he is an independent and proud spirit. He will never submit and serve another. Pride hinders people from entering into or walking in covenant. It takes humility, you all, to enter into and walk in covenant. A covenant is a mutual agreement between two parties. Marriage is a covenant. It is not just the wife submitting to her husband, but the two of them submit to each other in the fear of God. We have found, you all, that Leviathan is the spirit operating in most marriages, causing divorce and separation. Leviathan will not make and keep covenant. It is not surprising that so many of God's people don't understand and operate in covenant relationships. Pride will blind you and hinder you from honoring covenant. Pride will also blind a person from receiving and walking in the covenant we have through the blood of Jesus. The Bible is a book of covenants. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. Salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, the gifts of the Spirit, miracles, signs, and wonders are all parts of the new covenant. It takes humility to receive and walk in the revelation of our covenant. It is not surprising that many believers in some churches reject parts of the new covenant. Some reject healing. Some reject deliverance. Some reject the baptism of the Holy Spirit and his gifts. I'm convinced that the spirit of Leviathan has blocked many from walking in the fullness of the covenant we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. My Lord, my God. There are different types of pride, y'all, and one of them is religious pride. This says, my church, or this is my church, or my denomination. You hear people say that my church, my denomination has all the truth. Religious pride says it couldn't be God if we don't practice or believe it. These attitudes are nothing but manifestations of Leviathan. If a believer or a church has a problem walking in the fullness of the new covenant, we have to check for Leviathan. We have to check for Leviathan. Hallelujah. We have to check for Leviathan. I understand this. Leviathan will not serve. The next question the Lord asked Job concerning Leviathan is, will thou take him for a servant forever? But the Moffat translation says, will he always be at your service? It takes humility to serve others. Pride will prevent you from submitting to and serving another. Pride always wants to be on top and in control. Pride wants everyone to submit to him. It does not surprise me that so many people have a problem submitting and serving. The reason being is that so many people have a problem with Leviathan. If you have a hard time submitting and serving, then you have a problem with Leviathan. Jesus is our example of humility. He humbled himself and became a servant, even to the extent of washing his disciples' feet. You all, Levitin cannot be tamed. Levitin is not a pet. He cannot be tamed. Pets are animals that have been domesticated for the advantage of man. The Jerusalem translation of Job 41:5, it says that, will you make a pet of him like a bird, keep him on a lead to assure your march? In other words, Levitin is not a creature to play around with. My Lord, my God. Pride cannot be tamed, you all. Pride is destructive and will cause pain in your life and the lives of others. Levitin will not be taken captive for a pet. He will not be bound and tamed. Levitin must be destroyed, and only the Lord can destroy pride in our lives. Amen. We cannot draw him out, snare him, make a covenant with him, or bind him in our own strength. If we don't allow the Lord to destroy pride in our lives, Levitin will destroy us. Levitin will destroy us. So, you all, I don't, like I said, I don't want to try to, you know, too much on you at one time and one lesson here, but we can pick up next Wednesday as we continue to talk about the spirit of Levitin and how it's affecting our lives and how it's affected so many people that we know and love in their life. We've seen it just, you know, destroy them and take them out. And even when we look around and look at our lives, now that we've studied this and understand and have a better understanding about this spirit, and if you look at yourself and lives of others, you see how it's truly affected, you know, family members and generations and generations. Amen. And so I'll ask at this time, if anyone have any questions or comments, I welcome your comments, you all. I really do tonight. And if not, we're going to wrap up. Sister Debbie, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I don't. Thank you.
No.
Glory to God. Amen. Sister Connie, what about you?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Amen.
Good luck.
Amen. Hey. Amen. Thank you, Sister Connie. We thank God for the lesson on tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. What about you, Sister Pamela Townsend?
No, but I have learned a lot tonight that I didn't know. So I definitely appreciate your teaching, because
amen,
all the scriptures that we went through, I didn't know all of that. So I definitely appreciate
amen
it. So I learn something new every day.
Amen. We thank God. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your comment. We just thank God and all the apostles, Apostle John Eckhart, and, you know, just getting into the study and diving deep. That's the beauty of having Bible study. We can slow down and dig deep into the scripture, take comments, any questions, any helping one another. This is a lifestyle. This is not something we do. We pick it up and put it down. No, this is what we practice. So we study it day in and day out. And freely we receive and freely we give to others. Once we get it, then we can give to others to go out and spread the gospel, the good news of the Lord, so that all can be delivered and set free. Amen. And live life in abundance. Amen. Until we leave this place. And we just thank God. So we thank God. So next week when we get together, we're going to talk about rousing Levitin on you all. And the more we learn, the more that we will know. One thing is, the Bible says, my people perish of the lack of knowledge. And it's because the priests that were leading was not teaching. So the people were perishing because they didn't have the knowledge to apply to their life. But when we don't know, how do we grow? And if we don't know, how do we avoid the trouble? How do we avoid being hurt if we don't know? But once we have the knowledge of it, and it is up to us to apply it the correct way. Amen. So God bless everyone and those that are just coming on tonight. God bless you all. We thank God for you. Father God, we thank you again for this opportunity to come and to receive in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you for every scripture, every word that's been forth, oh God. We ask, Father God, and even right now, oh God, let it take root in us, Father God. Oh, let it move on us and in us, oh God, bringing change, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Freely we have received on tonight, oh Lord, and freely we will give to others, amen, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you. Though we leave this line, but never your presence, oh God, we thank you that you're with us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. You all be blessed. Remember, Jesus is Lord and the devil is defeated. I love you. I thank God for you. You all be blessed.
Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face.
Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
I want
to
hear that.
Call me
one time.